So there's many symbols and meanings that we need to look at, I believe, to get a full, deep understanding of this event. And so there's five in particular that we're going to take a look at: the Passover, the palm branches, the coats, the phrase Hosanna, and the donkey. And so the Passover, as you heard in the video, Passover was a holy celebration that memorialized when God saved the nation of Israel from Egyptian oppression, specifically the last plague that God sent in order to be spared from the angel of death that God was sending. Each household had to sacrifice a lamb and mark their doorway with its blood. And as the angel of death came into Egypt, if he saw that there was blood over the doorway, he passed over that household and spared it, while those who did not have the blood on their door frame lost their firstborn sons. And so with Passover, that was what they were celebrating. And anyone within the vicinity of Jerusalem had to come to Jerusalem for Passover. So during this time that Jesus rode on the donkey, the crowd of people was not the normal crowd that resided in Jerusalem, but a much, much larger crowd. It's kind of like Kelowna in the summertime. You got a lot of extra people there. So during the time of Passover as well, commentaries were saying that there was also a heightened awareness and expectation of the promised Messiah. And so next we have the palm branches, which people were waving in celebration. And palm branches had a symbol of nationalism. If you don't know what that means, it's a support for one's nation and a symbol of victory as well. The coats that people were lying down on the road for Jesus and the donkey to walk over, it made like a makeshift red carpet. And it was a symbol of kingship. So they were recognizing him as king. And the phrase Hosanna means save now, or save we pray. And so finally, we also have the donkey. Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem was a fulfillment of the prophecy found in Zechariah 9:9, which says this: "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." In Western culture, the donkey is not seen as a noble creature, but a stubborn animal. And, I mean, society uses the archaic name for a donkey as an insult. And so, but during this time period, donkeys were seen as noble creatures. And if a donkey had never been used before, it could be used for a sacred purpose. And so this donkey, we know that it had not been ridden on before, because Jesus says in Luke 19:30, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here." And then the last thing to note is with the donkey, which hint, this ties to the big idea this morning. You don't want to miss this. When a king is going to war, he would ride on a war horse. But if a king were coming in peace, he would ride a donkey. Yeah. So all of these symbols help us get a deeper understanding of what is really going on here. It's not just a simple picture of Jesus riding on a donkey, palm branches waving with coats on the ground. There's so much more meaning here. And the thing is, getting ahead of myself. Jesus was boldly and publicly proclaiming that he was the promised Messiah coming to the nation of Israel. And the crowd was seeing it. But how the crowd was seeing it and interpreting what is happening was compared to how Jesus sees it and where he intended it to be are actually different. So we're going to compare that. So the crowd, how does the crowd see what's happening? The nation of Israel had a history of a common cycle, okay? They would sin, turn away from God to other idols and fake gods. So God, being faithful to his word, would allow the surrounding nations to come and bring oppression upon the nation of Israel. They would turn and cry out to God in repentance, and God would bring someone in to help restore the nation back to God. And as you read the Old Testament, the cycle repeats itself over and over and over again throughout Israel's generations. So this was their history and background, and currently Rome was in charge. People knew the many miracles that Jesus had performed. Word spread around about him, and one of Jesus' most recent miracles was a big one, raising Lazarus from the dead, and that caused a lot of stir. They see the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, and so they understood Jesus as king and acted and praised in a way that would recognize Jesus as king with the palm branches and the coats. But they were hoping to be saved physically, that he would be a bringer of peace and restore the nation of Israel physically. Now let's look at Jesus' point of view. Obviously, we still have the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. He is making a bold public proclamation that he is the promised Messiah. And as you read through the ministry of Jesus, he tried to keep what he was doing hush-hush. He would heal someone and be like, don't tell anyone, just go and do this. Or he would run away from the crowds in a way because he didn't want, it wasn't his time yet to make this bold proclamation, but today was the day. And he knew that the Pharisees and others did not like him because of everything that was going on. And he was coming as the King of Peace to Jerusalem by the action of riding a donkey. But the peace that he was bringing was not one of military overthrow and victory. It was a spiritual peace to reconcile all people to God through his death on the cross. A spiritual wholeness and completion in relationship with God. Shalom in our relationship with God. The peace that the crowds were after was not the peace that Jesus was going to bring. He was going to do something much greater and profound, but the crowds didn't get it. We read in Luke 19 that as Jesus was approaching the city of Jerusalem, which this video didn't touch on, and during this time, as he's approaching, he actually weeps over Jerusalem. I'm reading Luke 19, verse 41 and 42. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." Israel did not recognize that Jesus is the one who is going to reconcile people back to God forever, to be the forever sacrifice and atonement for our sins. And shalom can be used as a verb which means to bring to completeness or to bring to wholeness. And that is what Jesus did. Through his death and conquering of sin, he brought everlasting peace, a shalom, completeness and wholeness in relationship with God. The world is looking for peace. It's grasping and striving for a sense of wholeness and completion. It is attempting to find shalom outside of God. The peace that they do find is not everlasting, but fleeting. It's like a Band-Aid over a shark bite. It is momentary, and it will never satisfy the cry of one's heart and soul. Sin brings turmoil to our souls. Sin separates us from our Creator, God, the bringer of peace and life. We cannot have true peace and life separated from God. The world longs to get rid of the turmoil and the emptiness, and the only true way for that to happen is believing in the King of Peace, who came to take away the sins of the world on his shoulders, to take the turmoil that sin brings on himself so that we can have shalom with God. If you don't know Jesus, If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth as a baby to live a perfect life, to die a death that he did not deserve, that we actually deserved, and then conquered death and was raised back to life 3 days later. I mean, that's what this coming weekend is all about. He was raised back to life forever, making a way for anyone to be made right with God and to be healed and to be whole. And if you don't believe that, if you don't believe in Jesus, you cannot have shalom. You can't be made whole. You will continually be trying to slap band-aids on a shark bite, never finding what you desire and need. Jesus is the peace that we need. Jesus is the peace that we long for. The peace that he gives is everlasting. He makes us right with God. Life isn't an ice cream sundae bar where you get to pick and choose the right combination of spiritual practices and beliefs to fill that peace void. It's he, Jesus, who is the only answer. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do you believe in Jesus? Because again, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will never find the peace you long for. Everything you try to do to get that peace, that the peace you desire, will fall short. It always will. Jesus is the way. Now, the other question I want to ask you, because many of us here have taken that step of believing in Jesus. So I want to ask you this question. Are you seeing Jesus as what you want him to be? Or are you allowing him to show you and be what you need? Are you the crowd, curating this idea of what you want Jesus to do for you? Or are you allowing Jesus to determine what you need him to be for you? Here's the thing. Jesus does not promise us a life that is easy and free from trouble. Again, the peace that he came to bring wasn't a physical peace. I'm not saying he can't. He can bring physical peace. But the peace that he came to bring was one spiritually between you and God. And us taking that step and believing in Jesus, it doesn't make our life easy and free from trouble. He actually promises the opposite. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Things will come your way. But if we're at peace with God, if we have shalom with God, we can rely on him and turn to him during those times when things in life come our way. You may know of someone in your life that faced something unimaginable, or you've heard a story of someone. Maybe it was the death of a child or a spouse, or maybe a cancer diagnosis or another illness. But because of their faith in God, they faced that circumstance with such peace that it doesn't make any sense. Like, that's going on in their life. Why do they have so much peace about it? That's because of their relationship with God. And during that circumstance, they pressed into God and actively pursued him. And it doesn't mean that what they were facing wasn't hard or difficult, or that tears weren't shed, or they doubted. But how they view their circumstance in light of their relationship with Jesus makes all the difference. So are you trying to force Jesus to be something that you want him to be? Like the crowds on Palm Sunday? Or will you allow Jesus to show you what you need him to be? I'll give you a little hint this morning. Allow Jesus to show you what you need him to be. Allow Jesus to show you what you need him to be. So here's another thing. God knows you better than you do. He knows what you need. Sometimes we don't know what we need. Sometimes we think we know what we need. That's not always the case. It's like my kids. They think they need the candy. No, they don't need the candy. God knows what you need. So allow Jesus to show you what you need him to be. And I know we're nearing the end here already. And I know this is really short, but I want to have a lot of time for response here. And so, band, I'm sorry I didn't give you this heads up, but I'm going to invite you back up here. And just if you could play in the background, and I'm going to invite you to respond here. And so if you would be willing, please stand with me during this time. And I've asked a lot of questions here this morning. And the first important question that I asked was, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? And I'm just going to ask everyone to close their eyes for a moment. And if you do not believe in Jesus, but you want to take that step of faith, just ask if you would please raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. And if you would just pray this prayer with me, if you want to believe in Jesus, and if you already believe, if you already have a relationship with Jesus, would you please pray this prayer with us? You can just repeat after me here. Dear Jesus, I am sorry for the sin that I have committed. I recognize that I need you to save me. I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you died for my sin and was risen to life. Please be the King of peace in my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Show me and teach me how to follow you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, you can open your eyes again. Can I just say welcome to the family? You're now a child of God. You now have shalom with God. You have peace with God. And so, again, if you took that next step, please connect with us. Faith is not meant to be done alone by yourself. It's meant to be done in community. That's the way God has created it to be. That's why he created his church. So please connect with us so we can help partner with you on this journey. And so now the second question, which I know applies to many of us here this morning. I asked this, are you trying to force Jesus to be something that you want him to be? Are you trying to force Jesus to be something you want him to be? Or will you allow Jesus to show you what you need him to be? We're just going to take a pause here. And just ask him. Ask him, God, am I trying to force you to be something? Am I trying to force you to be something? Just allow him to examine your heart for a moment. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes again. And if you want to allow Jesus to show you what you need him to be instead, I ask that you would please raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Now let's pray this together. Again, just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I am sorry for the times that I have tried to force you to be, something that I wanted you to be. Jesus, show me what you need to be for me. Open my heart and my eyes to your leading. Help me be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Amen. There are many things in this life that will promise you peace, but they are counterfeit and not what we need. We need Jesus to be our King of Peace. Jesus came to bring shalom to our relationship with God, for our relationship to be complete and whole. And this was made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. And I want to encourage you this morning, as you go about your week, continue to pause and ask, Jesus, am I trying to force you to be something here? Am I trying to force you to be something here? If you're saying yes, just take a step back and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm doing that right now. Show me what I need, what I really need from you. So we're just going to end here in a song, and we're just going to praise Jesus, who is our King of Peace, as we close this morning.